Hi, my name is Stefan Heinertzi, and today we're going to talk about what's coming in the VirtIO 1.2 standard. We're going to look at the new virtual I/O devices that have been added, as well as some of the features. So let's quickly recap what VirtIO is. VirtIO is an open standard for virtual I/O devices, and originally this solved the problem of when virtualization became popular and there were more and more hypervisors and emulators. How could we get those hypervisors and emulators to have good I/O devices like network cards or disk controllers without each one of them having to implement their own custom device, which would require device drivers for every operating system? That's an N times N situation. And so VirtIO is a standard that hypervisors can implement, and driver implementers for guest operating systems can implement these devices. And that way, you don't need to invent your own devices for every hypervisor and emulator. Nowadays, it's also possible to implement VirtIO devices in hardware. So the new specification tends to come out every few years, but in between, once new features have been merged by the VirtIO community for the next upcoming spec, software can already ship with those new features. That's typically how it works. They don't have to wait for the next release in a couple of years. So what that means is some of these devices that I show you today might be devices that you've already heard about, or devices you already use because they are in the upcoming spec and Linux, for example, has already shipped them. Okay, let's look at the new features in VirtIO 1.2. The core of VirtIO has a number of device model extensions. So this will be useful for device designers, people who are creating new devices, because it gives them more powerful and more flexible ways to design their devices. But it's not immediately useful to people using VirtIO devices today. So I'm not going to go into details of how the device model was extended in VirtIO 1.2. But what I do want to mention is some of the new features in existing devices. In VirtIO Net, the popular network card that VirtIO offers, there is UDP segmentation offload support, as well as multi-queue receive optimizations, receive-side scaling, and per-packet hash reporting. They allow multi-queue receive to work better. So that's definitely worth checking out. You may already have it enabled on your machines, because that's certainly a feature that's already out there. For VirtIO Block, a new secure erase command was added. And the purpose of this is that if you just write zeros to a disk in order to overwrite the data, you don't necessarily have a guarantee that the old data that was there before has now really been discarded and is irretrievable. It's possible that if there's some kind of block allocator or something underneath, maybe the disk didn't actually overwrite the data and someone who's determined could still somehow restore it. So the secure erase command helps with that. Then there's the VirtIO Balloon device, which has new features that allow it to report more memory information from the guest so that the hypervisor can make better decisions. But the real meat of this presentation, this tour of the new VirtIO 1.2 devices, is the new device models that have been added to the standard. And that's what we're going to focus on today. There are 9 new device types, and I think that's really exciting because if you look at the set of device types that were there in VirtIO 1.1, there weren't all that many more than 9. So we've almost doubled the number of devices in the spec, and that's incredible. Some of these device types do things that VirtIO could never do before, like the VirtIO sound card, which now does audio. In addition to these standard devices, where there's a full description of how these devices have to work and their interface in the specification, there are also a number of additional device IDs that have been reserved for new devices. So some of those will be future standard devices, maybe in 1.3 and so on. Some of them might be application specific. Essentially, they're so specific to some particular use case that there might only ever be one implementation of this device in the world. And for that reason, that device might not ever be a standard device in the spec. So let's focus on the standard devices, these 9 new devices. Let's go through them and take a look. The first one is VirtIO Sound. This is a sound card. It's a general purpose thing. It can handle things like listening to music or movie and game audio, including surround sound. It can do voice calls, so it can do both playback and capture, multiple streams. And it can also do pro audio recording. So this device supports all the different audio sample formats that you would expect for these use cases. And it's built on top of the high definition audio spec, some of the concepts from that spec, which means it should be fairly easy to integrate into existing audio stacks because they typically will already have some of that functionality from HDA. The ALSA driver is available in Linux. It shipped in 5.13, but QEMU doesn't have an emulated device yet. So maybe someone will contribute a Verdio sound device in the future. I think that would be a nice addition to QEMU. The next device we're gonna check out is the Verdio IOMMU. So an IOMMU's job is to translate the memory accesses that a device makes. So not from the CPU, but from the device, DMA. What it does is it enforces memory protection. And this ensures that a device that is maybe a buggy driver programmed the wrong address into the device, and the device is going to try to write to some memory that it shouldn't write to because it got an invalid address, the IOMMU would protect that. So for reliability, it means that you have some level of protection against malfunctioning devices or buggy drivers that have programmed the wrong addresses into the device. On top of that, for security, it's a useful feature because it means you can isolate the device and not give it access to all of guest RAM. You can give it access to just the I/O buffers that it really needs to operate on. That way it can't spy on sensitive data in memory, and it also can't corrupt memory in order to gain control over the guest. You know, maybe by putting some, by changing some of the pages so that it can plant some instructions that the CPU will execute. The kind of use cases for the Verdio IOMMU include if you run user space DPDK networking applications inside your guest, they use the Linux VFIO API, and that typically requires an IOMMU. So this is an area where the Verdio IOMMU can be used. It's also useful if you're passing a device through to your guest, a physical device from the host to the guest, because now you can isolate it and ensure that it doesn't have full access to all guest RAM. And finally, in nested virtualization is very common to use IOMMUs as well because pass-through is common in nested vert. One more thing that's worth mentioning about the IOMMU is that the different architectures, the different platforms typically already have their own native IOMMU. So Intel has an IOMMU, ARM has one, and so on. But the Verdio IOMMU is cross-architecture, so this is not specific to just one CPU architecture, which is a nice property to have if you're implementing, for example, your own kernel. Maybe if you implement Verdio IOMMU, you can run more easily on multiple architectures and have less code. So the Verdio IOMMU has been available in Linux since 5.3, and it's also supported by QEMU 5.0. The libvirt support is on its way, and I think maybe by the time you watch this presentation, it will already have landed. Next up, we're going to look at the Verdio FS device. Verdio FS is a shared file system device. It allows the host to export a directory to the guest. So an entire tree, directory tree, a file system can be exported to the guest. And there's also optional support for directly accessing the contents of the files from the host page cache and not having to copy them into the guest page cache. That can be advantageous if you have some read-only data that many guests on the same host need to access. Normally, what they would do is they would copy that data from the host into guest RAM, into their own page cache. And then each VM would have, since it has its own page cache, you're going to have n copies of this data. But with Verdio FS's DAX window feature, you can directly access the host page cache and not have to copy it. Verdio FS is based on the Linux Fuse interface, a user space file system API. So it gains all those capabilities, all those functionalities that Fuse has. The use cases for VirtioFS are general things like if I install a VM, instead of having to maybe SCP copy some files into the VM, maybe it's easier to just mount the directory from the host and have in-place access to your data from the host. That can be very convenient. Or maybe if you're developing some code and you need to do tests inside VMs, maybe you're developing low-level software like a kernel, or maybe you just do it for the isolation of running in a VM, then instead of copying everything into the guest, you can just mount it using VirtioFS. And again, it's in place, it's more convenient. And then there are also more specialized use cases like Kata containers and other secure container VMs. They typically need to share files from the host with the sandbox VM where containers execute securely. VirtioFS has been in Linux since 5.4 and in QEMU since 4.2 and in libvirt since 6.2. So this is a feature that has fully landed and is already being used, even though the device spec itself technically is only coming out in the next Virtio release. Okay, the next device we're going to look at is the PMEM device, the Virtio PMEM. So this is a persistent memory device. And the reason for this device, even though, for example, QEMU already emulates physical NVDIMMs, physical persistent memory devices, is that physical NVDIMMs, although you can emulate them, they don't necessarily have a hypervisor trappable flush mechanism. So when an application inside the guest stores some data and now wants to ensure that that data is permanently stored on the persistent memory, so even after power failure, even after reboot, even after restarting the application, it wants to make sure the data is really going to be there. If there's no hypervisor trappable mechanism, say you use a cache flush instruction to ensure persistence, if the hypervisor can't trap it, the hypervisor can't do something like an fsync system call on the host that would ensure the data is persisted. And so that was kind of a gap. So in some configurations, it was not possible to use QEMU's NVDIMM emulation. But the Virtio PMEM device solves this because it has a Virtio flush mechanism, and that can be handled by the hypervisor to ensure that your data is persisted. So again, this is something you would need if maybe you're not using, you're not backing your persistent memory with an actual NVDIMM. It's also something you can use in order to bypass the guest page cache. If you have a blob of data that many VMs will need to read and you want to reduce your memory footprint, you can just put a Virtio PMEM device in there and they can access the data from the host page cache instead of having to copy it in the guest. So that's similar to VirtioFS, except it doesn't give you a directory tree or anything like that. It's not a file system, it's just a blob of memory. Virtio PMEM has been in Linux since 5.3, so the driver is there, and QEMU since 4.1, and libvirt also has support since 7.1. All right, so sticking with the theme of memory, there's a new Virtio memory device, Virtio MEM, and this is kind of a successor to Virtio Balloon, and the traditional ballooning device had a few shortcomings, and the Virtio MEM addresses some of them and takes a slightly different approach. The Virtio MEM device is all about hot plugging memory. It allows you to plug and unplug memory from your guest. And what's interesting is that you're not limited to DIMM sizes, because if you try to simulate memory hot plug like you would on bare metal, where you can put a new stick of memory into the machine, those DIMMs on some architectures have granularities like 128 megabytes. So you're incapable of adding just a few megabytes or removing just a few megabytes. It has to be 128 megabytes or more. And so what Virtio MEM gives you is the ability to do fine-grained memory hot plug. That's especially useful if you want to have some kind of lightweight workload inside a virtual machine where you do want to finely control the amount of memory that's available to your workload. What's also interesting about Virtio MEM is that it has NUMA support. So you can indicate which NUMA node you want to plug memory from. And so that's different. For example, Verdeo Balloon didn't support that. The driver has been available since Linux 5.8, and QEMU support is in 5.1, and libvirt also has support for it in 7.9. Okay, so those were kind of general devices that you would have in servers or desktop virtualization. This next device is a more specialized device. This is the new replay protected memory block device. It's a special type of storage device that is tamper resistant. It's special purpose in the sense that, for example, it can only, the maximum capacity of the device as specified today is only 16 megabytes. So this is not a general purpose disk that you would use. It's very specialized, but what it does is when the device is initialized, it is assigned an authentication key. That's essentially a shared secret. And then whenever the device is written, the data being written and the shared secret are HMAC'd together, and that way the writes can be authenticated. Can only be written by someone who has the shared secret. And in addition to that, there's a write counter in the device, and it's a saturating counter, so it doesn't overflow, it doesn't wrap back to zero, and it effectively places a limit on the number of updates. So this is kind of something you would use if you have system data, something that's very critical, or maybe firmware or some configuration data, small amounts of data that need to be safely stored in a way that they can't be tampered with. Another scenario might be if you have an application with very sensitive data that runs in a trusted execution environment, for example, there it could hold the authentication key, the shared secret, and it could interact with the RPMB device with the knowledge that the data can't be tampered with. There are no Linux drivers for this yet. There's no QEMU implementation for it yet, but the device is in the Verdeo 1.2 spec, so it's possible to implement a compliant device or a driver. Okay, the next thing we're going to look at is the Verdeo SCMI device. What this is a transport for ARM's system control and management interface. This is an interface that allows ARM systems to control the power and performance of their devices. One example might be, you might be able to turn down the performance profile of a component so that it's running slower, but using less power, if you're trying to do power saving, for example. And what Verdeo SCMI is it's a transport for these messages. What that means is that you can use the SCMI tools, the management tools, and the kernel driver stack inside of YAML. Previously, they were only available for bare metal. So that's kind of a nice way to reuse this whole concept of SCMI that exists on bare metal for virtual machines. And the driver is available in Linux 5.15. Okay, the next device we'll look at is the Verdeo I2C device. This is definitely an interesting device if you're doing embedded or IoT. Servers and laptops will have I2C in there somewhere, but it tends to be quite hidden and not play as big of a role. But I2C targets can be things like EEPROMs, clocks, sensors, or small displays. And with the Verdeo I2C adapter, it's basically a bus controller, and it can talk to one or more of these I2C targets. These targets can either be emulated devices, for example, QEMU could emulate an EEPROM or a clock, but they can also be pass-through devices. So real physical I2C devices can now be passed into a guest using Verdeo I2C. And the I2C driver for Linux is already in 5.15, and it's part of the Linux I2C framework, which means you can use the usual IOCTLs and APIs to talk through a Verdeo I2C device. The final device we're going to look at, the final new one, is Verdeo GPIO. So this is a general purpose input-output device. It allows for control over lines and the electrical signal values that they have. For example, if you have an LED, you could set an output line to that LED to the value of 1 to turn on the LED light. or 0 to turn off the light. So that's a simple example. Another thing is that it supports not just output, it supports input. So if you had a physical button on your host that has a GPIO input line, then you could pass that through to the guest using Verdio GPIO. And then the guest software could read that line to find out whether the button is pressed or not. Now, Verdio GPIO also has interrupt support. So that line can be put into interrupt mode so that the guest will receive notifications when the button is pressed, when it's changed. It doesn't have to always pull that value. So the use case for this is going to be for interfacing external devices and maybe for slow logic signals from VMs. The driver is already part of Linux. It's in 5.15, and it's part of the GPIO framework, so all those IOCTLs and APIs for GPIO are available through this driver. There's no QEMU implementation of this device yet. So I hope this was interesting, and maybe you've found out about a new device type that might come in handy. New Verdio devices are being designed, as people come up with use cases for it. And once the device is there and we have drivers, then it's so much easier for everyone else who comes later to reuse those devices or just make small feature extensions to them rather than inventing their own thing. If you want to write a driver or if you want to implement a device, please check out the spec. There's a GitHub repo that I've linked on this slide. And you're welcome to contribute, to ask questions. Thank you very much.